Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 231 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her hormones and food. Interesting combo. Stay put for a minute. This is going to be a good one with a superb expert. Before we begin, just know that this whole episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. All right, here's your first formal official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. Why? Because we love to hear from you. Your feedback is golden. All right, it's time for Her. Raise your hand out there in Her podcast land if you just feel like you're just one big cluster of raging hormones out of control and you have no idea what's going on, your body is not in balance. Ha! Just like I thought. Well, here's the great news. We have a new book written by a world-acclaimed expert, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to promote the book and obviously have Dr. Barnard share his wisdom with you, and wit too. Dr. Neil Barnard is the author of Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. Dr. Barnard is an adjunct professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., where I just happen to have done my residency, and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. As president of the Physicians Committee, Dr. Barnard has led programs advocating for preventive medicine, good nutrition, and higher ethical standards in research. His research has contributed to the acceptance of plant-based diets and the dietary guidelines for Americans. Oh, thank heavens for that. And so much more. Neil, welcome on board to the Her podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
All right. So I'm reading your book, which I just can't even tell you how wonderful it is and what a gift it is for people who really want to have a body in balance. And in your very first words in the book, some of the most troubling health problems have a surprising solution. Weight problems, infertility, menstrual issues, diabetes, thyroid problems, cancer, acne, hot flashes, and many others are related to, guess what? The foods you eat. In each case, whether you know it or not, foods are changing your hormones, making you feel great or terrible, vigorous or lethargic, pain-free or miserable. Oh, this is wonderful. The key is this: you can control your hormones and the problems they cause by the food choices you make. When did you really wrap your head around this, you know, and decide to write this book?
I have to say, this came out of the blue for me. I wasn't expecting this. I was sitting here at my desk, here at the Physicians Committee, many years ago. The phone rang, and that is what launched me down this road. It was a young woman who said, I can't get out of bed. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, about every month, I get one day where I just cannot move. It was menstrual pain. And now many women have some menstrual pain or discomfort, but for maybe 1 in 10 or more, it's just off the scale. And that was her situation. And she wanted me to write her a prescription for Demerol, a very strong painkiller. And I said, well, I can write you a prescription for a painkiller, but my mind started thinking, how are we going to deal with this next month? Is there some other way? And I started thinking about what menstrual pain is. And it's the lining of the uterus thickens up every month under the influence of estrogen. And at the end of the month, it disintegrates in menstrual flow. And as it disintegrates, cramps come from the prostaglandins that come out of this disintegrating tissue. Anyway, bottom line, I started thinking, wait a minute, if I could reduce the estrogen waves in your body just enough so that you're healthy and feeling better, maybe you won't have so much pain. So I recommended a diet that I thought would do that. It was a completely plant-based diet, high in fiber, really, really low in fat. It worked like a charm. The next month she called me up, zero pain. So and it continued like this month after month. So I thought that's good, but we need to do a good research study, which we then did with our friends at Georgetown University's Department of OBGYN. And we proved that this approach works. And that led, one thing led to another, and we started to then apply this technique to more and more conditions. And we found that we can, you turn a dial on your thermostat to make your room warmer or cooler, or you can turn a dial on your stove. But in a way, you can turn a dial on the hormones that are in your body to change your health and improve your health. And that's what your body imbalance is about.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, so much for the Demerol. And as a fellow physician, I can't tell you how many times I get asked the same question. And by people who are just desperate for an answer. And in our society, medications are overused. Do you agree?
Completely. Medications are overused. Surgical procedures are overused. Sometimes even just diagnostic procedures don't need to be done, but they are done. And by the way, to give you an idea of where this went, speaking of procedures, in the course of the research study that I was just mentioning, where we wanted to see if women with menstrual pain could be improved by a diet change, and the answer was yes, they can. It works terrifically. But in the course of this study, we asked all of the participants not to use any hormone medications during the study, just because that would confound our results. So what that meant was if they were sexually active and using the pill is a hormone, we asked them to use some other kind of contraception. So anyway, in the course of this study, one of the women said, "Don't worry about me. My husband and I don't use any contraception at all because we gave up trying to have a baby many years ago. We've both been evaluated. It's not him. It's me. I'm infertile. I don't ovulate. That's it." The second month that she was on this healthy plant-based diet that we were using, she came into our research center and she said, "I've got bad news and I've got some good news." And I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "I'm pregnant. I've got to leave your study. I'm sorry, but I am pregnant." And she was thrilled, obviously, and she gave birth to a healthy baby. And several years later, she came to a lecture that I was giving with her three children. And the point being, when people are dealing with not just menstrual pain, but also fertility issues, how many medications, how many diagnostic procedures, how many other kinds of procedures are they using? How often is even just sexuality degenerated into kind of a sterile, clinical, let's try to get pregnant exercise? When what we found is that by using diet changes, we can get our cycle back to where it really ought to be. And in her case, that meant having a child.
Wow. I mean, needless to say, a boatload of women out there in the Her Podcast land can identify, you know, with the frustration this poor woman, you know, was undergoing. And thank heavens for the nutrition-based solution. Speaking of nutrition, why plant-based? I know a lot of women out there have asked me a million times, you know, is it okay to be flexitarian, to be paleo, to be keto, to be, you know, I could go on and on. How did you get to the plant-based solution?
Okay, well, in this case, back to the phone call. When the young woman said, "I've got terrible cramps," and I was thinking, what are cramps? If they're caused by too much estrogen, that in the center of the uterus, the lining of the uterus is the endometrium. That's thickened up by estrogen. And if it's too thick, then at the end of the month, it releases prostaglandins that cause pain. So if the goal is to reduce estrogens, you don't want a ketogenic diet or a paleogenic diet or any of that stuff. Because what researchers found back in the 1990s, they found that there are two ways to really dial estrogen back into the sweet spot. Number one is you want to cut fat. We don't really know why it works, but when you reduce the fat intake in your diet, and that means animal fat, beef fat, chicken fat, even fish fat. But it also means the oils that could be fryer grease or even oils all over your salad. If you dial back the fat, the hormones get into a better position. But the other thing is you need fiber. Your liver removes excess estrogens, and it sends it into the intestinal tract, and then it goes out with the waste, but only if there's a lot of fiber in your digestive tract. If you don't, the estrogens continue circulating in the blood. So a keto diet is high fat, low fiber. It's the opposite of what you want. So that's why we were using a plant-based diet, which, by the way, helps get hormones in better balance, but it automatically causes weight to improve, often just dramatically, and cholesterol levels come down and blood pressure comes down. So all the side effects, so to speak, are good ones.
Excellent, excellent. Because, you know, people just raise their hand. Can I just throw one last thing out? So another question, because everyone couldn't believe how lucky I am to have you on, is like, yeah, let's ask him this question. What about intermittent fasting? You know, clearly it's a huge, huge thing out there. We have some high-level scientists looking at this, like Mark Mattson. You saw his New England Journal of Medicine piece that just came out on, you know, this whole issue, as well as Sachin Panda at the Salk Institute and others, looking at more circadian rhythm type balanced eating. What's your thought on that?
I think it's okay. I think it's fine. I sometimes jokingly say I fast every day between about 9 and 11. The truth is that when you're talking about intermittent fasting, for many people it's 5 days of eating and then 2 days of greatly restricted eating. And there are many different patterns. And I think it's an okay thing. I have a staff member here who's an endocrinologist who has a big meal in the morning and another meal in the early afternoon, both quite large, but then does not eat for the rest of the day until the following morning. So there are many different patterns of it. But I do have a couple of caveats. If you're going to do intermittent fasting as a way to make up for overeating the other days, then we're going to end up doing more harm than good. So it should be healthy eating on the other days, and then the intermittent fasting can come in. The other thing is, if you're doing fasting, some people will do fasting for more extended periods to try to knock out an autoimmune condition or something else. And it can be very helpful. But if it's an extended fast, like one of these month-long water fasts, that must be done under medical supervision. It's risky if you're doing something like that. But intermittent fasting, what you're asking about, is something different. It's much more short-term. It's quite safe. And if people want to try it, I say it's perfectly fine.
Excellent, excellent. Yay. Okay, that's good. Talk to us about insulin. This is such a powerful hormone. And it plays this central role in diabetes. And you've done a lot of research in that area. Tell us about your findings.
Yes. When you and I were in medical school, the idea really was that if diabetes got to the point where a person had to inject insulin, they were just going to be on it for the rest of their life. And they were going to have more and more complications of diabetes. But we have been looking at a different way at this insulin hormone. And what we found is really quite remarkable. Your pancreas is making insulin all the time, and its job is to help act like sort of like a key. It opens up your muscle cells, it opens up your liver cells in order to let glucose, sugar, to get into those cells. And so that people understand what I'm talking about, your muscles run on sugar. That's their energy source, and insulin is the key that lets that glucose get into the cell. Now, when people have diabetes, their insulin is not working very well. Their cells are what we call insulin resistant. It's like having a key that just won't open the door. So that's when researchers or doctors tell them to inject more and more insulin. Eventually, it'll open the doors up and get the sugar into their cells. What researchers have discovered is that the reason that insulin isn't working is because fat particles are building up inside the cells. I don't mean belly fat or thigh fat or whatever. I'm talking about fat particles, microscopic particles of fat inside your muscle cells and inside your liver cells. And as they build up, insulin just doesn't work anymore. So what we did with funding from the U.S. government through the NIH was test a diet that would help drain that fat away and to see if insulin could start working again. And that's exactly what happens. If a person has type 2 diabetes and they've been avoiding sugar and avoiding carbohydrate and so forth, what we do is we say, okay, I want to get the fat out of your cells. And I'm going to do that by using a plant-based diet that doesn't have any spam or bacon in it, no animal products at all. We're going to keep oils low and have foods, meals based on vegetables and fruits and whole grains and beans. We'll show you what they are. And day by day, people's insulin starts working again. And their blood sugar starts coming down, and they're able to reduce their medications. And that's when, 16 years ago, I guess, we started seeing our first cases of diabetes going away. And at first we thought, oh my goodness sakes, we didn't expect the diet to actually make the disease remit completely, but it did. And for many people, now everyone's different, but we started to see this over and over and over and over again. And of course now, clinicians now believe that diabetes is a potentially reversible condition for many people, particularly if we get their disease early.
Wow. That's like, needless to say, it gives so many people hope out there. Look at the numbers. What is it? It's about 70 million-ish with pre-diabetes, and right?
Oh,
and
yeah. We are in bad shape right now. In fact, approaching one out of every three Americans now either has pre-diabetes or diabetes itself. And if they're starting insulin injections, you know, it's not generic. You go to the pharmacy, it's all brand name expensive medication. And people aren't only on insulin. They're on oral medications plus insulin plus a cholesterol lowering drug plus blood pressure drugs, and all of which have side effects. And people feel like, well, I need these to survive. And you can understand that. But if we can fix the system and get your body in balance, that's the reason I gave the book this name. I want to get your body in balance. So sex hormones, get them in balance. Insulin, get it in balance. Let's make your body work again.
You know, I think I was asked a question on the part of some women who are now postmenopausal. And their question was, well, what's my balance? You know, I'm no longer menstruating. What am I supposed to do after menopause is set in? What is balance? How do you define balance for a woman who's postmenopausal?
Well, a postmenopausal woman, first of all, several things should be said. Back in, it must have been the 1970s or something like that, you would hear doctors writing in a serious tone of voice. They would say, well, menopause is just a sign that you're living longer than nature intended. Their whole idea, and bear with me, this, they made quite a few outrageous statements. They would say back in a century ago, lifespan might have been only 40 or 50 years. And so now if you're living to be 55 and 60, nature never thought that that would happen. So needless to say, you're going to have symptoms and da-da-da-da-da. And let me tell you something. That is complete hooey. There is nothing to that whatsoever. The reason for menopause is a natural change in life, and the reason for that is that hormones are dangerous. If you have too much estrogen for too long, too many continuing waves of estrogen every month, month after month after month after month, that increases the risk of cancer. So nature's system is that you have sexual reproductive fertility between menarche and menopause, a relatively short window, and that's it. And all that menopause means is that you're now at a stage where you don't need a toddler on your kitchen floor. This is not the time to be raising babies. You've got a lot of life ahead of you, and that's what we're going to be doing as opposed to getting pregnant again. So menopause is not a sign that we're anywhere near the last chapter of life or anything like that. It's just a sign that we're going on to something else. So what is balance? Before menopause, the main estrogen is something called estradiol. What happens is it just switches. After menopause, it's something called estrone, E-S-T-R-O-N-E. And you have less overall, and so when people go through that transition, they do often get symptoms. They get hot flashes and other things that come as the amount of estrogen overall does diminish. So there are certain dietary steps that we can take to make those go away, and there are also sexual changes that can occur as the vaginal lining can become thinner, and it can be painful, and there are a lot of things that can be done, and so I've included an entire chapter in your body in balance on all of those so that women can take some power back as opposed to being used as a marketing tool for people who want to sell them oral estrogens and so forth, which carry risks of their own.
You know, it's so interesting when you were mentioning that whole, you know, early definition of menopause, I just laugh because when I was going through medical school, remember the medical physiology book, the textbook Guyton? You know, the one written by Guyton? Oh, yeah. Well, when I was cruising through medical school, and a couple of my medical school, you know, teammates there were reading along, and all of a sudden we came to pregnancy. I swear, I even still have the textbook to prove. And pregnancy was listed under pathology. It was it was a pathologic issue. And I'm like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I'm the product of pathology? Now, let me just think about this for a moment. So we actually wrote a letter. We put together, you know, we were a little activists. What can I say? Too many years at Berkeley for me. And we put together a letter to the editor and said, listen, we have a little issue with being with pregnancy being identified as a, you know, as an event of pathology. And one would hope you agree and you could change this in the next edition. Son of a gun, they did. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sometimes they listen. Sometimes, Neil, they actually listen.
Yes. And the same is now true, I think, for menopause. Back there was a book published many years ago called Forever Feminine. And the whole idea was that menopause was a big mistake. And if you just swallow Premarin pills, then you'll feel like you're 18 years old forever and ever and ever. And these were really kind of marketing lies designed to sell pills and to make women feel like they were dependent on the pharmaceutical industry. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a role for medications. There are many roles for medications that can be often helpful. But the idea that we have an estrogen deficiency that has to be made up is no more true than that we have a Lipitor deficiency or a metformin deficiency or something like that. It's usually food that's the issue.
Oh, my God. Well, getting back to food again. So let's just say out there on the Her Podcast land, we have a slew of women saying, wait a minute, you know, maybe I should adopt a plant-based diet. How would you recommend they begin?
Oh, great question. We have done this with thousands and thousands of people here in research studies, and I break it into two steps. I've never seen anybody unable to do it. We want to learn why we're going to do this. Do I want to improve my cramps, or do I want to maybe help my migraines go away, or do I want some easier weight loss than I've been having up till now? All of those are good, and I describe all that, the reason why you might want to do it in your body in balance, but how do you put it to work? Step one, take 7 days for step one. During this time, don't take anything out of your diet. Just eat whatever you normally eat. But during these 7 days, I want you to try new items. So, and I want those new items to be plant-based, something without animal products. So let's say for breakfast, if you normally put milk on your cornflakes, is there a non-dairy milk so that's not an animal product? Okay, almond milk, rice milk, soy milk. Go to the store. If you've never tasted almond milk, now's your chance. And see if you like it. And if you do, write it down on a piece of paper. And then lunchtime. Every day I go to the submarine sandwich place and I get a ham sandwich. What could I have? Well, now is your chance to have the veggie sandwich or whatever. Or if you're eating at an Italian restaurant for dinner, could I have a tomato sauce on my spaghetti instead of a meat sauce? For 7 days, what we're going to do in this first step is identify plant-based items for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Write them down on a piece of paper. And you'll have them before 7 days are up. Step two, after you've got your list of foods that work for you, now we're going to take 3 weeks, 21 days, and during that period of time, we're going to do it all plant-based all the time. No animal products. Keep oils low as well. But that's easy because it's only 3 weeks and because you already picked out the foods that you would like. You just stock up on the ones that you identified and eat them. And at the end of that three-week test drive, you discover two things. First of all, you're physically healthier. You're losing weight. You're feeling better. Your digestion is better. Your energy is better. But the other thing is that your tastes are starting to drift in a really good direction. You're starting to like healthy foods, and you're finding you don't really miss the unhealthy foods. And then the next week, you can decide if you want to continue or not. And virtually everybody says, I like where this is going. Let me keep going with it. So we break it into these two steps. Step one, check out the possibilities. Step two is a three-week test drive, and it'll change your life.
You know something? I'm listening to this and I'm saying this is completely doable if someone wants to do this out there. But now they're going to ask a question. How far do I go? Is it vegetarianism? Is it vegan?
I would suggest that people do a completely vegan diet. Now, when I say a vegan diet, that doesn't mean you have to have a taste for folk music. You don't have to be a philosopher or wear tie-dyed clothes. A vegan diet doesn't say anything about your politics or your outlook on life. All it means is that you're not eating animal products. But I would take another step, too, and that's I would keep oily foods really low. Don't eat a lot of fried foods. Why would we do this? When you remove the animal products, there is no animal fat left in your diet. Dairy products, cow's milk, contain estrogens from cows. And if you take the cheese out of your diet, for some people they kick and scream a little bit about that, but what you discover is when the cheese is gone, you're no longer getting the estrogens from a cow. That's a good thing. Now, many people are surprised to hear that dairy products contain estrogens, but they do. Cows produce them all the time, but most cows on dairies are impregnated annually, so pregnant cows make even more. And even though it's only a trace, it's enough to affect our biology. So plant-based diet and keep the oils really low. But don't take this on faith, and don't feel that you have to sign a loyalty oath that you'll do it forever. Give it a try and see how you feel. And for many people, it's absolutely life-changing. And to sweeten the deal, I have, in Your Body in Balance, I worked with Lindsay Nixon, who is, many people know Lindsay, she's in Vancouver and an amazing recipe developer. She's given us 65 hormone-balancing recipes, including desserts like chocolate cupcakes, but they're made in the right way, in a healthy way. So they're tasty, they're easy, but they're the kind of foods that work with your body instead of working against you.
If you're vegan, what supplements do you need?
Oh, great question. I think everyone should take vitamin B12. And frankly, that's true for everybody regardless of diet. But vegans really do have to take it. You need vitamin B12 for healthy nerves and healthy blood. And it's not made by animals or plants. It's made actually by bacteria. But for various other reasons, it's not in a plant. But you will not see it in a plant-based diet except for in fortified products. So you should go to the drugstore and just pick up the smallest B12 supplement that they sell and take it every day. If you get sunlight, that's nature's vitamin D. If you are never getting sunlight because you're indoors all the time, then you might want to add a vitamin D supplement as well, or at least get tested and see. But that's pretty much it.
Interesting. You know, I highly recommend to absolutely everybody I come in contact with, know your vitamin D level. Because surprisingly, Neil, there's some real problems out there, even in people who do get sun, and there are receptor issues. And also there's an issue with aging in the ability and the efficiency with which we actually convert to vitamin D. So I really ask everyone out there to make certain that they know what their vitamin D level is. And if it's, you know, have a conversation with your provider. And if you have to take a supplementation, please do. It's very, very important to know, because that's a really important vitamin that a lot of people are pretty unaware of.
I have to say I'm with you on that. In our primary care clinic, we test people for vitamin D, and it is surprising how many people are low in vitamin D. And that is that we do find that very often, even in the summer months when people are getting exposed to sun. So I think you're right.
Yeah, you know, I was. I think it was about, good Lord, almost 10 years ago when some of the early vitamin D work was being done with regard to cancer. It was one of these, oh, by the way, the people with the highest levels of vitamin D had the lowest levels of ovarian cancer. Well, you got my attention. And then I ran out and I found out what my own vitamin D level was. And son of a gun, I'm a triathlete and an outdoor person. I'm constantly hiking. You know, I soak up more sun than people see in a lifetime. My level was 12. It was so low, it was crazy.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, we've been talking with Dr. Neil Barnard, and he is the author of Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. And if you want to learn more about his work, go to website www.pcrm.org. Dr. Barnard, thank you so much for being on the HERB podcast.
Thank you, and thanks for all you do to spread a healthful message.
Oh, same to you. Right back at you. And everyone out there, run on over to iTunes and rate and review the show. We love to hear your feedback. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today and stay well.